The following sermon was delivered at the 10:30 worship service at the United Methodist Church of Kent. Please enjoy.
The sermon this morning is a continuation of a sermon series on the true spirit of Christmas, during which we've been looking at how we can hold on to the real message of the birth of Christ in the face of all the distortions of the Christmas story and message that we so often see. Let's be for a moment in a spirit of prayer. The Lord, may the words of my mouth and meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. One of the points of irritation for many Christians today is whenever they see the term Xmas used instead of the word Christmas. It seems to be a case of Christ being taken out of Christmas and replaced with a mere X. But in the term Xmas, there is more than what may first appear. In the Greek language of the New Testament, the word for Christ is Christos. The Greek letter chi, which looks like our X, is the first letter. The next letter, which looks like a P, is the Greek letter rho, pronounced as an R, and early Christians commonly used these first two letters, chi, rho, as an abbreviation for Christ. In our sanctuary, during some seasons of the year, on the paraments, the tapestries that hang on the pulpit, lectern, and altar, you'll see a chi rho symbol in which the two letters are overlaid. And on our parament that features that, we also have an alpha and the omega on either side, which are the first and last letters of the Greek alphabet. So the whole thing symbolizes Christ, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. The chi rho, what looks like an XP overlaid, is really a centuries-old monogram for Christ. As time went on, some Christians began to use just the letter chi, or X, as a simple abbreviation for Christ. You can find examples of that in the English language going back for 500 years. In a seminary today, a theology professor writing on a board would quite typically use the letter X, chi, to signify Christ. If some retailers ever used Xmas in an attempt to leave Christ out of Christmas, they did not succeed, because Christ is right there in the term. The reality is that you cannot take Christ out of Christmas. But what you can do is to simply ignore the Christmas story altogether, which seems to be more of what has actually been happening in our contemporary society. Along that line, in recent years, there's been a trend away from using the term Xmas in favor of simply emphasizing Happy Holidays. That could be seen as a term inclusive of Hanukkah, but in reality, it seems more to reflect the fact that for many people, this is just a purely secular season, a time of pretty decorations, festive parties, gift exchanges, and cute traditions having nothing really to do with God. But if the real Christmas story is very often sidelined in our culture during this time of year, that relates to what was happening at the first Christmas. In the scripture passage we just heard from the Gospel of Luke, the Gospel recounts how the angel Gabriel appeared to Mary announcing the birth of the Messiah. It is a stupendous scene in which the angel declares he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. Clearly, something tremendous is happening. Yet, this amazing declaration occurred completely at the margins of society, as did the subsequent birth of Jesus. No one was noticing or paying much attention, except for a few marginal characters, and then, sometime after Jesus' birth, King Herod, whose response was entirely negative. It thus appears that God does not need the support or the applause of the surrounding culture. The way God typically works is through ordinary people, often small in number, who themselves become part of the story of what God is doing. Mary and Joseph responded to God with faithfulness, as did the shepherds and the wise men. They joined in the story of God's action through Christ. We see in them that the great question in every age is not whether human beings will put Christ into Christmas. God has already put Christ into Christmas. The question is whether people will put themselves into Christmas. At the first Christmas, while the broader culture was oblivious to what was happening in Bethlehem, Mary and Joseph and the shepherds and the wise men took their own place in the salvation story that was unfolding through Jesus Christ. And so also today, we should not be surprised if the broader culture is inclined to ignore Jesus. The world seldom has God's agenda. But along with Mary and Joseph, we are invited to join in faith in what God is doing today through Christ. When I go to a store during this time of the year, I'm not really disturbed by the fact that the store is wishing everybody happy holidays. I do not expect a store to be telling the story of Jesus, the real story of Christmas. Stores are more in the business of exploiting Christmas. At the first Christmas, God was not looking to Roman shopkeepers to tell the story or to the Roman government to provide support. It was people of faith who connected with God and who carried out God's purposes. As believers in the church today, we are the ones who are to be telling the story of Jesus, which we do as we gather together in church and as we act as a church in mission to the world. A great example of what it means for us today to tell the real story of Christmas was provided by our children this morning in that Christmas pageant that they just presented here, and then they also presented the same pageant at the 9:30 hour. As I noted in introducing them, our children designed their own pageant. You know, they decided which parts of the story they should, you know, tell, and you know, who'd have what lines, and what Christmas carols they would sing, and also those drawings that went along with it. That whole project in creating the pageant and in presenting it illustrates several key aspects of what it means for each one of us today to proclaim the real story of Jesus in our own lives. Certainly one key element is that we pass the story from generation to generation. This is why we place great emphasis in our church on Christian education and youth ministry, and why parents who want to pass on Christian faith make a critically important decision when they decide to bring their children to church, because children are not going to get the real Christmas story, the story of Jesus, from the culture around us. As the ancient scriptures counsel, you shall teach God's word to your children. We also see in a children's Christmas pageant how God's truth is authentically proclaimed through small, ordinary people. A children's pageant is simple and always imperfect, yet sincere. And it relates to the fact that God has always used lowly and imperfect people to convey God's message. Mary was just a common young woman. And so when the angel appeared to her saying, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you," the scripture reports that she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. She did not consider herself favored by God or destined for some divine calling. But the biblical message is that God's favor comes upon each one of us, ordinary and imperfect as we may be, and we each have a calling to share in God's purpose and God's promise. We see further in a Christmas pageant how we each are to enter the story of God's salvation and take our own part in it. In a Christmas pageant, children put themselves theatrically into the story. We join in the story by joining in the spiritual movements that are at the heart of it. With Mary, we commit ourselves to follow God's will. With Joseph, we trust in God, even when we do not understand. With the shepherds, we praise God, and we tell others the good news of God's grace. With the wise men, we give out of what we have to honor Christ. It's notable that our children chose what lines they would speak, what they would draw, which songs they were going to sing. We make the Christmas story our own as we give the truth and love of Jesus Christ our own expression in our lives. One final element that you will notice in any children's Christmas pageant in any church in contemporary times is that the number of children involved will be a small percentage of the total population in the surrounding region. That's primarily because only a small percentage of children in our society are actively involved in a church. Likewise, a distinct minority of adults are actively involved in any faith community. Only 20% of the population is worshiping in any given week, either in person or online. That could be cause for discouragement until you look at the biblical story. Talk about small percentages. The number of people who were involved in the first Christmas story, or later, the number of people who were first charged with proclaiming the Easter message, was infinitesimal. But God works powerfully through tiny numbers. So if we see today that much of the culture is missing the real point of Christmas, we need not fear that faith is about to be overwhelmed. We can join rather with God, who does mighty things with the small. And no matter how great the challenges we face in the church or in our own lives, we can remember the words of the angel that nothing is impossible with God. Let us pray. Eternal God, we give thanks that throughout the ages, you have reached into the lives of ordinary, imperfect people and have been at work with wondrous grace. We give thanks for how that story of salvation has come to its greatest expression in Jesus Christ, how Christ came among us to show us, O God, that you are truly with us, to reach to us with forgiving and a renewing and uplifting love to enable us truly to share as your people, O God, and to be able to reach out then with your grace to all the world. Inspire us, O Lord, to take hold of the real message of Christmas, the message of your love poured out upon us, lifting us up to indeed live as your children and to know the great promise of your everlasting kingdom. Guide us to respond in faith and to join then in how you are at work in our lives and in the world today. We thank you that we can join together in the church to grow in faith and to reach out in mission to the world. We do reach out to persons in times of particular need and pray for those who are sick or dealing with surgeries, and pray especially this morning for Addie Fritch. We lift up those who are in times of mourning, praying for the family and friends of Peter Lepp, giving thanks, O Lord, for his life of faith, thinking of all persons who have lost loved ones in recent times. Be with them, Lord, with your comfort. Give us that assurance of your everlasting promises. We pray for persons this past weekend who've been struck by tornadoes across our country. for persons in times of distress. We pray, Lord, that they might find encouragement, new hope, and strength in you. Lord, in life we confront many challenges in our society, in our own personal lives. Guide us to see how you are indeed at work among us, how you are here calling us to join with you, to walk with you in faith. Lead us, O Lord, to recognize that no matter what challenges we may face, nothing is impossible with you. Move us as we place, O Lord, our trust in you and lift our hearts to you in joy and praise. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this edition of the United Methodist Church of Kent Sermon Podcast. For more information about the church, visit www.kentmethodist.org.